Good morning, KRFY listeners, and thanks for tuning in this Wednesday, October 10th, 2018. We are live in the studios here of 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show of the special edition of Local Decision 2018 General Election. I'm Susie Prez.
And I'm your co-host, Chris Bessler. Good morning, Susie.
Good morning, Chris. It's nice to have you here. And we have guests in the studio. Today, we are going to be talking with candidates for Board of Supervisors from the Bonner County Soil and Water Conservation District. We have Terry McGirt. Just say hi, Terry.
Good morning.
It's nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Dale Van Stone. Good morning, Dale.
Good morning.
And there are actually four candidates for this, for two open seats on the Board of Supervisors that are going to, voters are going to see this race on their ballot, on actually page two of the ballot, if you look at the sample ballot. The other two candidates are Alan R. Banks and Thomas E. Clark. We tried multiple ways to get in touch with them. All we have is a mailing address. We did send messages through third parties. We mailed them. They have not responded in any way. So they are running, however. They will be on the ballot. So, and we also understand that they are, at least we have it through the third party, that they're planning to attend the candidates forum that is coming up on October 23rd. So that might be a chance for people to see them. But for today, we're just going to be talking with Terry McGirt and Dale Van Stone. They're actually the two incumbents.
Right. So they'll have information about the Bonner Soil and Water Conservation District, because I have questions. I'm sure others do too. When you see something on the ballot and you're not quite sure what it is, it's probably important to find out. That's why we invited these folks in today.
But first, Susie, let's talk a little bit about what's going on around town, starting with the weather. What's up with the weather?
The weather from the National Weather Service. Currently, it's 41 degrees. Today, we can expect sunny skies with brief clouds in there. And northwest winds 7 to 11 miles per hour. Not 10, but 11. And it was pretty windy yesterday. It feels a little windy still, so it's probably going to calm down a bit.
Yeah, it was very windy yesterday, but I think it's going to calm down a lot.
Tonight, mostly cloudy with frost, low of 29 degrees. Farmers, gardeners, pay attention. And Thursday morning, frost, then sunny, high of 54. And Thursday night, partly cloudy, a low of 35.
So we'll see a little bit of sun. Beautiful fall foliage happening out there. It's all just about at the peak here, hitting it, I think, probably this next week or so. So it looks gorgeous out there. Other things going on around town. Of course, there's a ton going on. There's like a couple dozen things happening between now and next week. But to throw a shout out for some of the bigger ones that we think, there is going to be an event called Fall for Sandpoint, and that's happening this Saturday, where shops all around the downtown are going to have sales and games and prizes and activities, and that a portion of the day's proceeds from each of these participating shops is going to be donated to local nonprofits. So you can do some shopping and know that part of your what you're spending is going to go to support our many local nonprofit groups.
Guilt-free shopping.
Guilt-free, yeah.
Another way that you can shop right now, KRFY has our online fall auction happening right now. You can go to krfy.org, and there's a button that takes you directly to the auction site online. Or you can go to biddingforgood.com/KRFY. I have to tell you, there's some really amazing things on this auction site. And this is our biggest fundraiser for the year. We really count on our listeners and our supporters to go and shop online.
And it's a pretty easy way to support the radio station, because you usually get something really good out of the money that you contribute. And it ends up being a part of what keeps us going. Among those really cool things are there's some 2019 preseason Seahawks tickets. I don't know if we have any Seahawks fans in the crowd. Surely among our listeners we do. That includes a stay at a Seattle luxury hotel. There's also a tropical island condo vacation that's being listed as one of the auction items. And there's a lot of small things. Fine dining, flowers, event tickets, all kinds of cool stuff.
You know, the way I look at it, if I'm going to get my hair cut, I'm going to buy it through the auction because I'm going to get that haircut anyways from my favorite haircutter over at Headlines. And so why don't just buy it through? So we really want to thank all of the businesses and individuals in our community that have generously made these donations. There's like over 15 restaurants, pizza places, really nice restaurants that you can go and get your dinner early. And then have that gift certificate for when your family comes in for the holidays. Lots of great things, sailboat excursions. Captain Stephen will take you out on the lake in the summer next year. All kinds of fun things. So check it out at krfy.org and help support our community radio station.
And that's happening online. You can do that all the time. I mentioned a couple other things coming up this weekend. One pretty interesting thing is there's going to be a carousel restoration workshop at the library on Friday. And that is to kind of get the ball rolling with restoration of the carousel. There's a nonprofit group that's formed up. And if you're interested in that, check that out. As well as on Saturday, the Banff Film World Tour 4th night, they call it, is coming. It's a selection of films from the Banff Film Festival. That's Saturday at the Panada. And I want to throw one more mention out that if you are interested in our local economy and the business community, the annual Prospering Business Workshop, they call it the What's Happening Up North Economic Summit, is coming up on Thursday, November 1st. But that is open right now for registrations. If you want to attend that, it's free. They're asking for a small donation to help cover the cost of lunch, but it's an all-day thing coming up Thursday, November 1st, the What's Happening Up North Economic Summit. They have all kinds of business people and agency people. Some of the top people in the state actually will be here talking about our economy.
And when you're talking about what's going on downtown on Saturday, we have that shopping thing that you talked about, shopping for a cause, we'll call it for a moment. But also the Sandpoint Farmers Market. It's the last farmers market, folks. And they're having a celebration of the end of the season. So the farmers market on Saturday, come on down for a harvest celebration.
Yeah, and this is just scratching the bare surface of all the things going on. So check out the community calendars on either sandpointonline.com or at our website here for the radio station, krfy.org. It has the community calendars. You can get details on these and see all the other events happening.
Sounds good. Well, let's get to our guests, Terry McGurk and Dale Van Stone. You know, it's always nice. We have a lot of questions about what the Bonner Soil and Water Conservation District does. But since you are here, we'd also like to hear just a little bit from each of you, who you are and what brings you to the conservation district. We'll start with Terry.
Hi. I am almost a 40-year resident of Bonner County, a small landowner. I've raised five children to adulthood in that span of time. I was educated at the University of Idaho in forestry, and after that came here to Sandpoint to work for the University of Idaho Research Station under Harry Menser, then director. And it was through Harry that I became, as my children got older and I had more time, that I became involved with the Soil and Water Conservation District.
And how long have you been on the Board of Supervisors?
I've only been on the Board of Supervisors for a year. I've been going to meetings as a guest and as an associate for quite a bit longer than that.
Okay. Elaborate a little bit more on your professional background.
My professional background is my education is in forestry, and then I worked with nursery growers and actually with also with wheat growers in Boundary County through the University of Idaho Research Station, then took time off to parent full-time, and then have come back into this sort of full circle.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you, Terry.
And you are one of the incumbents. And Dale Van Stone, you're an incumbent. I believe you're the chair of the Board of Supervisors currently.
Yes, I am, Chris. And good morning, listeners out there. My name is Dale Van Stone, and I'm a lifelong resident of Bonner County. I've been on the Soil Conservation District Board for 32 years. I'm presently the chairman of the board. I was chairman in past years, but you kind of like to pass that authority around a little bit so other people can get a chance to bear down on you. But I've used the district over the years. One time I was a dairy farmer in the county, and I had some water issues and waste issues that they helped me with to resolve. And so I've come aboard, remember back in when I was about 40 years old. And my dad was a member at one time of the Bonneville Soil and Water Conservation District. So, you know, I have I've been on the state boards for the districts. I've been a former county commissioner back in the 90s. I've been on panel health board and some other boards out there. Right now, I'm currently on the State Water Resource Board and the Bonneville Soil Water Conservation District. So I've got enough background. I know the issues out there that, you know, landowners come up with that were mainly concerned with natural resources, try to help people take care of their property in the best possible way that we can offer them.
So we're going to dig in a bit on what the role of the district is in the community here. And I guess the first question would be, what does the Bonner Soil and Water Conservation District do? I know you work with small private landowners, but what are some of the types of things that you work on?
I think the beauty of this district is in it. It approaches conservation from a sort of bottoms up point of view rather than government legislated programs in terms of telling you what to do. There, we service people who have problems and that they identify, and then we bring them together with the resources that they need to solve those problems.
Yes, and to go along with what Terry's saying, we have a lot of programs for the landowner out there that we can help engage with. A lot of what we do is education also. We're the main sponsor of the forestry contest. Actually, it started, the origin of the forestry contest started with the Bonneville Soil and Water Conservation District. We have the Water Festival every spring with fifth graders throughout the county that go there. We engaged in a tree sales, seedlings for landowners to plant. We have a good offering of different variety of trees every spring. They put their order in early, like in the fall of, I think, a year, more than a year in advance. Mm-hmm. So we get them to order in, get order planted. So we have a lot of things we can offer the landowner out there. And we also partner with NRCS, that's the National Resource Conservation Service. They have programs that they can cost share with. That's a federal agency. We have great people out of the office that can work with them to, whether it's timber or erosion problems, road problems that water has caused problems for them. There's all kinds of good programs that we could help. And the board is very supportive of helping people that need the help.
Do you work on invasive species issues at all?
With Lake Assist, with mainly the aquatic species. Well, we had the boat stations, I forgot it. That's a very important part of what
that's
we do.
That's a huge part of what we do.
We get the money from the state, but we administrate the boat stations. We do all the hiring that's needed out there to run the stations, and we hire a manager to take care of it, but we're hands-on with that. We make sure everybody is getting the right message out there, and buying stickers to be user boats on these lakes and protect from any invasive aquatic species that might come up or try to get into our state.
So the boat stations, to clarify for folks that may not be familiar with those are the stations alongside the highway. They're manned during the summer, mm-hmm. I think, when the boat use is high. And they are checking anybody pulling a boat, even a small boat, a kayak. Is required to stop and have at least a visual inspection to make sure there aren't any invasive species. Of course, the big invasive species, milfoil is one, as well as now these mussels.
Mussels.
That's the really frightening one, I think.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And then if there's any question, boats are hot washed, depending on the location where they've come from.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how often boats with invasive organisms on them have been intercepted here along our stations?
Well, I've known of a couple. I think one down out of the Albany station, they had come through that had a suspect that came out of Lake Mead, down there. They have those invasive species there.
But the zebra mussels.
Zebra mussels. Yeah. And then we had some containers that came through Montana. And evidently they were inspected, but we were not notified they were coming through. They were going to be used for a barge-like floats out there. And we did intercept them, but we made sure that they were clean. We had them re-inspected again. And so there's some things. And so far, we've caught everything that has come through. And as we don't know of any boats or any containers got out of the water without being inspected.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you look at the title of the Bonner Soil and Water Conservation District, the word conservation stands out, soil and water conservation. How does your organization conserve water and soil? How does that work? And who is in charge? Is it the Board of Supervisors?
Yes, as far as the district goes, we hire our administrator, and we make decisions. A lot of them come through NRCS, those programs that we should be involved with. Through them, and a board will approve to go ahead and have most of my 319 grants, which is able to cost share with a landowner.
So a landowner has, like you said, that's how you got involved mm-hmm. years ago. You had some issues or some questions, and so a landowner can go to the conservation district, get some help. It sounds like even some grants for that help. Can you explain how that works and what someone might come to the conservation district to get help for?
Well, for example, in my situation, a number of years ago, I had an irrigation system, but it was like a flood irrigation system. So it was hard to conserve water when you're trying to flood an area. And so talking with experts at NRCS, they said if you went to a more of a sprinkler-type system, you could conserve your water, you do a better job of the irrigating. You just try to put on the amount of water you really need. And so I put in a gravity feed system with their help. They helped design it and show me and they shared in the cost of it. So that's been, that was 1980, so that's a number of years ago. So it's been close to be 5 years ago. It's been a while, and it's been very efficient for me because I have the water basically year-round to irrigate with sprinklers on a gravity feed system.
And it sounds like what you needed was some advice, some consulting, and some help with the financial cost of putting in an irrigation system or such as that, a gravity-fed system.
Yeah.
And so there are grants available, and the conservation district helps with that.
That's correct. Yes.
And ultimately, though it helps the private landowner, it also benefits the entire area because ultimately it's preserving water quality of the lake, runoff, et cetera. And I mean, even insofar as stormwater management within the cities.
Yes,
are also part of that.
That's surely the bigger
picture.
Goal.
Yes.
It helps the individuals, but by helping the individuals to have good management practices, it benefits the ecological health of the county as a whole.
Exactly.
Well, let's ask the question of your funding. How is the district funded?
Basically, it starts with the county. The county gives us money every year.
So the county sets aside a piece of its budget for...
It's in the budget, yeah. They I think this year was $12,500 mm-hmm. we get from the county. But we also, in that, we help the county on road issues, erosion problems. We have technical advice, engineers from throughout the state that we could bring in to help an issue there. And then some of that funding, the state has the Soil and Water Commission. They get money from the legislature for all the districts, and it's based on a 2-to-1 match. So if we get $12,500 from the county, then it'll be $25,000 from the state. that we get. And we also, anything we administer through this, the projects, we get 10% of the administration fees. Like the soil Lake Commission, we manage the money that comes in through that. On all these projects, like 319 grants, someone could be a pretty, you know, $200,000 on a major project. We'll administrate that money, and we get 10% of the. So tree sales, we earn money there, the seedling sales. So it's a variety of different dollars that come into this. We got our own expenses with our administrator and the programs that we're trying to promote, water festival, so the forestry contest out there, and same with the boat station. We get money through there, and we help administrate the so we get 10% of that.
So what is the annual budget of the Soil and Water Conservation District?
It is right at $500,000 a year.
Okay, so that's probably pushed up a lot by these larger state funds. The county is only putting in, you mentioned, $12,500?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And we go to the county annually every year to request, if we feel we need more money or keep it the same. We don't ask for less because we're always got more things going on, it seems like. And we do really try to push that we're here to help the county on some of their issues, whether it's the water quality, invasive species, or anything, road issues. So we got the staff and expertise to, you know, get our part in there too.
So let's talk a little bit about how you're governed. You have a board of supervisors, and you're the chair currently, Dale. Are the terms, how many supervisors are there, and how are the terms set up?
We have five supervisors. Two come up for election this year, that's Dale and I, and then we have another three that come up for election in 2 years.
So the terms are 4 years, and they're mm-hmm. staggered so the board
Correct.
Can change up.
Mm-hmm.
You have a staff as well, small staff?
We have a staff. Right now we have, for our part, one administrator. We have NRCS is in the office, and the Lake Commission is in our offices, but... We have the Water Festival people that help there, the Pack River Watershed
Council.
We have people there. They're part-time. Basically, they're paid for what they do. So there is other areas out there. But at the office, there's just one person that you call there. You get a hold of Sarah, our administrator, and she will give you everything she knows.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and where's the office?
It's on Washington Street. Just down there near the pole yard.
So off, it's just off a cut off division, one of those big office
North
buildings
division.
Off of Division mm-hmm. Street.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the board meets monthly?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Are the meetings open to the public?
Oh, yes. Oh. Yeah, everything's yes. open to the public. We have associate members that come. And if there ever need to be a replacement, like in the middle of the election year or something, we'll generally promote an associate to fill that spot.
The learning curve is quite big, large for all of the things that the Soil and Water Conservation District deals with. So I can say as a newcomer that in 2 years, I feel like I've just gotten the tip of the iceberg in terms of understanding all of the moving pieces.
Yeah, because you have so many different programs. Each program has probably got things to learn.
Right, yeah. Right, and different requirements for grant administration and things like that. So I think my first half a year of just attending as a guest was, I would come away just boggled at the things that they had accomplished.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Chris, I like to say Terry is a very valuable board member. She has a lot of input, very helpful for the board. And as you like to get various types of input that come in that could really help you. And one thing I want to say, this is not a paid position. This is volunteer. And it kind of baffles me why is it is an elected position, but it is. And so you got to be elected to be on here, but you don't get paid for being on here. And I think a lot of people think that maybe since elected, we get paid, but it's truly a volunteer position.
Yeah. I was wondering, since this hasn't really come into the public eye on election before, at least not for me, and I keep my eye open for these things over the years, how often has there been a contested election for the Board of Supervisor? You've been on there for 32 years. How many times were there contested?
What I can remember, Chris, this is probably the first one that we have. We kind of go on notice because there's two positions open, there's only two people running. So it's not really a contest, so to speak. So, this is the first time we've had opposition where you got to choose two. You have four people on the ballot.
Right, right. It's and actually, that's a healthy process. So we have you here mm-hmm. because of that and an opportunity for people to learn more about this this unit of government that probably most of us don't really know much about. We have, what I'd like to get into are some of the specific programs in a little more detail. You can tell us more about those. I'm curious about the types of things that you talk about at a board meeting. I copied off actual minutes so we can touch on those. But Susie?
Those were very interesting minutes, by the way. But I know, Terry McGuirk, you need to leave. And you are running for this position that we're talking about. You're a candidate for the Board of Supervisors, currently an incumbent. And just maybe a final statement, Terry, before you have to leave for work. And then we'll continue on with Dale Van Stone. But why are you running? And what have you seen over the last year that you've been on the board that kind of interests you and what keeps you interested?
I really am passionate about our county and our county's resources. As I said before, I'm a small landowner. I think the thing that strikes me as the most beneficial part of this is, as I said before, it's very much of a bottoms-up kind of conservation movement in that the needs are identified by the people who have the needs. And then we look for solutions to those problems. I'm running now. I'm at a point in my life where I have time and energy to devote to this kind of a program. And I'm very passionate about it. And I think that the biggest thing is I'd like people to educate themselves on this issue and every issue in front of us.
Mm-hmm. Terry, you're a landowner yourself?
I am.
How much acreage do you have?
I have 20 acres.
Okay. Mostly is it
mostly
farm?
Timber. Mostly timber. Timber. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Terry McGuirk, thank you so much for coming in, and thank you for serving on this important, I'm finding out, commission. And we're going to let you go. We're going to play a song, and Dale, we'd like you to stay so we can continue this discussion because it's really interesting. I'm so glad you both came in. And Terry, so thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. We're going to play a song on this day in 1966. The Monkees released their first album called The Monkees, and this is a song called Daydream Believers. We'll be right back with Dale Van Stone. He's a candidate and also the board chair of the... What is it, Chris? The county...
The Bonner Soil and Water Conservation District.
Yeah. I can only say so many words in so many seconds. We'll be right back. This is The Monkees with Daydream Believer. And that was The Beatles' Daydream Believer. It was released on this date in 1966, and we're back in the KRFY studios with The Morning Show and Local Decision 2018. I'm Susie Perez with my co-host Chris Bessler.
And we're talking today with candidates from the Bonner Soil and Water Conservation District. There are two open seats with four candidates. We have only two of them in the studio with us this morning, Terry McGuirk and Dale Van Stone. They're the two incumbents. You'll also see Alan R. Banks and Thomas E. Clark on the ballot. Our attempts to get in touch with them, all we have is a mailing address for them. They haven't responded to the mail we sent them or the we've tried to contact them through third-party individuals as well. So they've been unresponsive, and we wish we could tell our voters how they could learn more about these candidates, but we don't know anything more than their names, actually. So we're only talking with the candidates that did decide to come in, Terry and Dale. But I want to take just a moment here and mention that this is the third in our series of election coverage running up to the November 6th election. We on September 26th, we talked with District 1 House Seat B candidates, Democrat Steve Hallett and Republican Sage Dixon. And then on October 3rd, we covered two races. We covered District House Seat A and the State Senate. These are all legislative races on October 3rd. And going forward, we're going to be covering today's Bonner Soil and Water Conservation District. On next week, October 17th, we're going to be talking with the candidates for Bonner County Assessor. And I believe both of those have confirmed they're coming in. That is the Republican Donna Gao and the Independent Wendell Bergman. On October 24th, we're going to talk with Bonner County Commission District 3 candidates, Democrat Steve Lockwood and Republican Dan McDonald. Both of those have confirmed they're going to be in. And then on October 31st, we're going to be talking with the other Bonner County Commission District candidates, Democrat Steve Johnson and Republican Stephen Bradshaw. However, Stephen Bradshaw so far is saying he's not going to come in. He let you know that, right, Susie? Okay. So on that day, rather than we're not going to let any candidates that don't decide not to show up keep us from covering the race. So we will be interviewing Steve Johnson, the one candidate for that. But we're also going to be talking about the Medicaid expansion Proposition 2 that's going to be on the ballot.
And we don't at this point in time know who will be representing those two positions.
We will have a discussion, though. We certainly have the Idaho handbook, which provides information, arguments both for and against the proposition. So we're going to be talking about what that's about, and we'll see who we get in to speak to either the pro or con on that. With that, let's get back to talking about the race at hand. That's the Bonner Soil and Water Conservation District. And again, we have one of the candidates that's going to be on the ballot, Dale Vanstone. He's an incumbent, and he is actually the chairman of the Board of Supervisors. Dale, I wanted to kind of touch base on some of the individual programs that the Conservation District deals with. We talked about the boat inspection program. That's actually a pretty big program for you, I imagine.
It is, yes. Yeah. It's really grown. This past year, we increased our amount of days we're out there on the stations and the hours during every day. So we had to hire more people to cover it. You can't cover everything because I think the hours when it first started, like in May, was from 5 to 9. But as you got into September, late August, we started shrinking because the daylight hours were changing on us. But, yeah, it's a big program, and we got a good response. You know, we have most people do stop. The Bonner County Sheriff's Office, they help us in having more active patrols in that area. And there's a few people do slip by, but I think it's just not being attentive enough that they realize they have to stop. So nobody's been ticketed or fined. It is the sheriff is around. He tries to catch up with him and have him go back and go through the inspection.
Yeah, I drive by sometimes with little river kayaks that are like, barely longer than 6 feet. The impulse for a small watercraft owner is like, well, do I really need to stop? There's, you can look at my boat and see there's nothing there. But it is important to stop. And it's important for all boat owners to buy those invasive water species tags that go on your boat because that finances this very important program to keep invasive species out of Lake Ponderay and all of our waters. Yeah,
that's correct, Chris. And, a lot of people, especially the kayaks, they put them on the roof of their cars and they go to work with them on the roof of their cars. And I know it's probably pretty annoying to them if every time they come back and forth, they got to stop. But nobody's exempt. If you have a watercraft that goes into the water, you're going to have to stop. And that's the only fair way we can do it. If you start exempting people, then people will try to to shy on that. I would shy away from it and not even go be inspected. So we try to, there's no charge. You got to buy that sticker, like Chris said, but once you buy the sticker, you're good for the whole year. Yeah. And it pays for the protection of the lake. Yeah. And our lake is a valuable asset. If you talk to anybody in Bonner County, this lake is the gem we have. The same with Priest Lake up there. They are the gems of the county, and we need to protect them. If you ever get those aquatic invasive species in here, we're going to really have a total battle on our hands. So what we're doing is the right thing, and prevention is the best cure for all this.
And you have seen over this course of these inspections coming into play here that it has made a difference because, as Chris said, they do capture and correct folks from bringing it into our lake, these different invasive species.
Yes, that's correct. And any boat that is suspect, we give them a hot wash. We go, it's 140 degree temperature, and we wash it down good and make sure there's nothing hiding in there. You know, inboards, those invasive species will get into those out intakes and stuff on the boats. And you got to be, the inspectors that we have at the station are trained to go through the boat and inspect it the proper way.
That's a big part of what your group is doing, it sounds like.
That's one of the big things that we have. Dollar-wise, it's huge because we have a number of people that we have employed. And but the money comes from the state through these sticker programs, and this year they enhanced it. So, and next year we'll see if we're going to get more enhancements or it'll keep it the same.
And the hot wash is right there at the inspection stations.
They call them a hot shot. Every station has a hot wash machine that can fire up and wash down a boat.
And you may have said this because I was doing something else for a minute, but how many of those inspection stations do you have?
We have three this past year. One was at Albany, down by the dam site where the big turnout is. We had one in Clark Fork, this on the outskirts of Clark Fork near the state department workstation, and then one out at Samuels at the old way station near the Pack River Road.
Basically at all the gateways into the county.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some other programs. One, what's your role with, or the district's role with a couple of programs? Again, focus on the lake. One is Lake Assist, and then the other one is the Lakes Commission.
Okay. The Lake Assist. Right now, we don't have a Lake Assist coordinator. We're going probably in January, first part of the. We'll be looking for a Lake Assist coordinator. It's kind of a part-time position, but I think it's important to help with any of the property owners that have issues with, you know, the invasive species or encroachment onto the 40-foot setbacks. Well, we can help for vegetation, how to prevent runoff and problems like that. So I think it's an important program, but we don't have a coordinator right now that's going to have to be filled.
And so property owners on waterfront would be,
mainly
have
water,
resources here. Yeah.
Right. Waterfront owners have more of them come into play than anybody that we can help them with. And the Lake Commission, the office, Molly McCann's our Lake Commission coordinator. She works out of our office. The funding for the Lake Commission comes from the state, but it's run through our district to administrate the funding. So we're involved that way, and I try to attend most of the Lake Commission's meetings that they have. They don't have every month, but maybe every 2-3 months they have a meeting, and they go through all the issues with lake levels and things going on with the dam, Priest Lake. You know, we got a major programs up at Priest Lake right now with Outlet Dam and a thoroughfare and breakwater that we're working on with through the Lake Commission and the state, because I'm on the Water Resource Board. It's a big part of another thing that I do for the county up there.
Okay, let's ask about another program that you, it's probably more traditional even than the boat inspection, which is relatively new for you to be working with, the tree seedling program.
Tree seedling program, where we've been in, probably the last 10 years, where we take orders from some major supplier of people out there that do a lot of planting. They're contractors that do plant for landowners. We take orders from them and give them a good price. The more you buy, the better you get a discount. And if you want to come in and buy 20 seedlings, you can do that, or whatever you think you need. And there's a very fair price. We do it for the help the landowners out, and we have all kinds of varieties. I think right now larch is a big variety, and pea pine, ponderosa pine, is it's more fire resistant. People like that. You don't always worry about fire. That's a good one that you want to plant. They're more fire resistant.
Yeah, so you're going for basically native species to the area.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And try to get the right elevations. And but every cedar, red fir, nobody wants white fir. We don't have anything going for white fir.
Yeah, nobody wants white fir.
The fact that I think they want to get rid of it. Yeah. I know I do in my place. I want, yeah. There's a white fir.
When one dies, I take it right down, yeah. I have 20 acres myself, so I deal with some of these. It's interesting that you have the Western white pine available, which was a big species here at one time.
Yeah.
And in fact, they had huge force of it up around Priest Lake that were taken down by the Diamond Match Corporation, turned into matchsticks. People don't know that about the history here. But that's an important indigenous
species. It was, yes. And they've had disease problems. So I think a lot of people shy away from the Western white pine, but we do offer it, and they're a very pretty tree, but they are subject to a disease more than some of the other trees.
They were. I had heard recently that they did have some, it's a blister rust, right? Mm-hmm. That they had some blister rust resistant species now.
Yeah, they do. And I, you know, to be honest, I don't know how effective that is. Yeah. Most people kind of shy away from it because that's where we're.
One of the questions I have is how is the Soil and Water Conservation District involved at all in helping landowners look at their property to mitigate fire danger? Is that at all involved in what you're doing?
Yes, it is very much. If you need to have your land thinned, we'll have a forester come out and help mark the trees that they feel should be taken out. And if you want to hire a contractor just to do some thinning, we have contractors available there, and some of that is match money we can get from NRCS. If you want to thin, just not take the tree, the big trees, the markable trees out, but just do a lot of the thinning that opens it up for makes it better for fire protection.
Mm-hmm. And is that program available to anyone in Bonner County?
Yes.
So they would call you and set up an appointment and get looked at and get evaluated. You'd send out someone, you said.
Well, they call the office and they come in and talk to Greg Becker, NRCS. He's with the Federal Natural Resource Conservation. He has access to foresters from throughout the state and our region, northern region, that he could go out and you know, view the property and make a recommendation what you should be doing and what programs could be available to you if you qualify on some of the things you would like to have cleaned up.
So how would a landowner get a hold of you or the office?
Well, the phone number, our office is 208-263-5310. And extension 100 is through our administrator. And if you talk to her, she can make contact with Greg Becker through the phone, or if he's out, leave him a message.
And you have actually a website with a lot of information on it, and a good way to contact you there as well. And that's bonnerswcd.org, bonnerswcd.org. Or just Google Bonner Soil and Water Conservation District, and you'll find your website. We're going to be running out of time here in a few more minutes, but let's touch on a couple other programs you have. We were talking about some of the forestry things you do. You also sponsor a forestry contest?
Yes. In fact, it originated with the Bonner Soil and Water Conservation District and has really grown. Department of Lands, Forest Service, we have other sponsors now has come aboard. We have people from, the Riley Creek Lumber Forest Products. They send people in to help be instructors at the sites. We do timber scaling. Soil samples. There's so many of them, I can't think of them all, but we generally we feed everybody generally feed up to 800 some people, counting students and helpers, volunteers that come out to help. It's a big event. And the school district buses, they come from all over. Not only we get from Bonner County, counties all the way down past Lewiston that come to this forestry contest to participate. And we have winners and awards given out to them. So it's been quite a deal. It's great for our community because we're so timber-oriented up here. And to get the kids involved at an early age, I think is really important.
I know that a few years ago, it used to be a trunk that was brought around to the schools, and now it's this huge event out at Riley Creek.
Well, that's the water festival there.
But oh, we're talking about the forest contest.
The forestry contest is out at DeLay Farms out by Currywood.
Yeah. Okay, so the water contest was in a trunk, and now it's also almost that big. All the kids love
water festival, that's every spring, right?
Every spring out at the Riley Creek camp station there of the Corps of Engineers. And it deals with all the water issues that animals that go to the water, plant growth is around the water. I haven't, usually I'm farming that time of year, so I haven't been able to only attend a couple of them over the years, but it's very, all the fifth graders in the county, and they have instructors, they have classes in school to kind of help prepare for the outing out there, and so it's quite a great, we have a coordinator that helps with that throughout the year, getting educational stuff put together. But it's great for the kids. You know, we have such a lot of natural resources here that people need to be aware of, that we need to be taken care of if we want to keep them here and protect them.
The lakes and our forests.
Forest is very important.
Two of the biggest things we have around here. But speaking of agricultural matters, you do have another program. It's the Natural Resources Conservation Service. And that's to help agricultural folks with their management issues?
Yes. If you have erosion problems, that's NRCS. If you have erosion problems or, you know, timber problems where you maybe got disease or need thinning, water issues that you need, what do I do with this stream in the spring? It floods my ground. I want to do something different. We help the county. Right now we have a project up on West Spring Creek Road that's probably going to start up next summer. Will be a 319 grant. We help pay for paving because it's near a stream. The dust, and you know, they've been putting down the calcium chloride for dust control, but that also can get into the water and runoff. So we're going to help pay for the paving with the county's help, and I think 1.6 mile stretch of road. And if the county wants to do more, we can work with them on that too. But for right now, it's a grant where they're going to get money with our help, engineering help, for design, and we'll help pay 50% of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to get into wrap up here. So there's actually a lot more that the district does. You can learn more about it, again, at your website, bonnerswcd.org. But swinging back to the fact that you are up for election, people are going to see you on the ballot. We want to give you a minute to make a little closing statement, but I wanted to ask one question. As to the composition of the board, it seems like you'd be dealing with practical things, practical matters of management. Are there issues that board members disagree on that come up during a course of a meeting?
Well, there is, and more recent one, we've had, the last 2 years, we've had to hire two administrators. And the first one, she worked out great, but she had a better offer after she served a year with us that to another opportunity for her. So we lost her, but that vote came down 3-2 for her. And then we just hired Sarah Garcia, and the vote came down 3-2 there. So there is this, most matters where we get the factual input from NRCS or our outside agencies that we work with, that's it's pretty well on board, but everybody will vote for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and with that, Dale Van Stone, give us a minute or two of, tell us, you know, actually why you've been on the board for 32 years. Why are you running, and why should people vote for you?
Well, to start with, the Bonner Soil Water Conservation District has been very true to my heart. You know, it's dealing with natural resources. And we have one of the most beautiful places in the whole United States here. And people will say that. They come here because of the beauty and what we have to offer, and it's really stuck with me that we need to protect it for future generations. And we have programs that will help the landowner do that. And if I could be anywhere assistant of going in that direction. That's where I want to be. I've always been that way. I've been my true believer is Mother Nature. Mm-hmm. I love Mother Nature. She gives us so much. And it's true to my heart.
Dale Vanstone, that was beautiful. And you are running for as an incumbent for the Board of Supervisors for the Bonner Soil and Water Conservation District. We want to thank you for coming in today, enlightening and telling us about this very important. I had no idea. So I really appreciate finding out more and getting informed. And thank you so much. We are going to just wrap it up here for the morning show. I wanted to say that tomorrow on the morning show, Jack Peterson and Jim Healy, their guests will be Eric Clark to talk about World Site Day. And I want to talk a little bit more about the auction. I mentioned that there were 15 different restaurants that were part of our auction that's coming up, that's happening right now. Actually, you can go to KRFY.org and go to our auction, see the auction button. But the restaurants, I'm just going to list them off. There's 15 of them. It's Eichart's, Babs Pizzeria, Tango Cafe, Mandala Pizza, Cedar Street Bistro, 41 South, Lou's, Sweet Lou's, The Fat Pig, Jalapeno's, The Floating Restaurant, Ivano's, McDuff's, Sushi Dinner for 10 to 12 people. That's kind of a private thing. Trinity at City Beach. So there you go. It's worth, that's just a little bit of the 70 items that we have on our auction right now. So check it out. That's what I'm saying, right? Mm-hmm. What else, Chris?
Well, it not only, again, can you get a really great deal in the auction, you're supporting the radio station. So
that's
definitely
right.
Worth checking out. So you can get to that by going to the website, krfy.org, and you'll see a link to the auction there.
You can also go to biddingforgood.com/KRFY. Both of those will take you directly to the auction site. And next week, as Chris already said, our guests will be folks from the assessor's office that are running for the assessor's seat, the Bonner County Assessor, that's Donna Gow, Republican, and Wendell Bergman, he's an independent. They'll be in the studios next week for Local Decision 2018 general election. That will be on Wednesday, October 17th.
And coming up, don't miss the fact that we're one of the co-sponsors to the candidates forum that's set for October 23rd. That's a Tuesday, 5:30 to 8 p.m. at the East Bonner County Library. We're inviting candidates for everybody that's going to be on the ballot. And then for the contested races, people will be able to submit questions for the candidates. It's a moderated format. We've done this for several years now. Actually, Sam Point Line, one of the first sponsors of this, has been doing it for about 12 years. So it's a great way to get informed about the candidates and help you to cast an informed decision.
And for that ballot. For that candidates forum, we're partnering with Sandpoint Online, The Reader, The Library, and the Selkirk Realtors. So it's a big group of people that are putting this together, and it's another opportunity for the voters. And guess what else is happening today? Early voting is open. Yeah. You can go down to our county offices at 1500 Highway 2 at Suite 124 and start voting now, folks. It's happening. You can also request an absentee ballot, and the phone number there if you want more information is 208-265-3631. And it is time to say goodbye and have a great day. We're going to go out with a song by John Prine. It's called Summer's Ends. Sorry. But it's a great song. It's off his new album called The Tree.
It could be also Autumn Start. So, you know,
right. Yeah. It's off his new album called Tree of Forgiveness, one of my favorite new songs. Yeah. Dale Vanstone, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
We hope everyone has.
Have a great week, folks.
There you go.